Amen. You may be seated. You know, this morning is our Agreement Sunday. It's the day that we're going to lay hands on cards that you've made out. Each one of your cards, we just asked you to put down five things. It could have been any number. We chose five, and that's just worked for us. Obviously, we're going to believe God for these five things together. We said throughout our teachings, we started with this Matthew 18 scripture and dealt with the very first two verses, the second of which says, he brought to him a child. Now, in the book of Matthew, it says he brought the child to him, but then it goes on. If we look in Mark, we see in the same passage, the Bible says he held the child, like you would hold your child. So while he's talking from a perspective of humility, from the child's perspective. And saying, if you're going to come to me and you're going to get something from me, you're going to have to get it on the humility of a child. You're going to have to come, and you're going to have to come with that kind of idea. You're going to have to come and say, God, you're everything to me. There's nothing greater than you, and I'm going to pour my life. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to pour out all that I can pour out in the kingdom through that kind of humility. I'm going to do it that kind of way. The next section of scripture that we went through, we got to the point where it talked about the different things about the actual scripture itself, Matthew 18, 18, 19, and 20. One of which we dealt with was we told you that this scripture is bifold meaning. We want to make sure that people don't misinterpret or misunderstand what we're trying to say. Because you can talk about things and there are real truths to them that are natural truths, and then there are also spiritual truths. This has to do with prayer. Because God's going to come in the midst of it. He's going to do something in the midst of that prayer. It's not going to be independent of itself and be done by itself. It's an independent prayer. If you ask for and you suggest these things, but it does not avoid the fact that this scripture deals with how people act in the kingdom. How do we respond to each other? How do we forgive each other? How do we walk away from wounds and hurts that come into our lives? How many of you have ever been hurt, wounded? Raise your hand. Just been wounded and hurt. Man, I have. I can tell you right now, I've been wounded and been hurt. It's difficult. It's a challenge. When that stuff happens, it's tough. And how are you going to respond to that? How are you going to relate to it? How are you going to act? Again, we're back to verse 2. We're looking at verse 2, and it's talking about he came with a child. And we understand this concept that while he's got the child in the middle of them, he's talking about how they're going to interact with each other, how believers will act in the midst of impositions and in the midst of challenges, where will they stand, what will their belief system be. Look at somebody and say this real quick, will you? Your belief system matters. It really matters. You know, I tell you now, I see people that come to the church and I see how God will use them and get them in, but I also know that along the way, as we walk through our moments, as we walk through our times, there will be moments and situations where somebody's going to get offended. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get wounded. Somebody's going to get disrupted. Somebody's going to get offended. You know, not knowing how or who would be here today, knowing that it'd be a good crowd, not knowing who would be here, I just began to pray. And about a week ago, the Spirit of the Lord came on me and gave me a thought. And gave me, I'm going to read this to you from Brother Hagin's book. I want to read it to you so that everybody in this room understands that if we're going to come to him in agreement, we're going to pray over these cards, our heart about it's got to be right. Look at somebody and say, your heart's got to be right. I mean, it's really that simple. Not only does your heart have to be right, but so does mine. Point your finger at Pastor Steve. Your heart better be right. It is, because I prayed, I've sought the Lord, that I make sure. But I also want to make sure that everybody in church understands, because we're in a smaller community and it's not quite as big as some of these larger cities, and we have to work a little harder to grow, and so we have to work harder to keep people, and we have to do things that other churches might not have to do in our smaller size city. And you know, and so there are just some things you have to, over 18 years, I can tell you, or 19, going on 19 years, they've been some stuff. Look at somebody and say, there's been some stuff. And so as I think about this, and I think about what he's describing, again, back to this child, taking us to verses 18, 19, 20. Guys, can you put that's up there? Let's all read chapter 18, verses 18, 19, and 20 together. Will you read it with me? Say, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He comes in this prayer. He comes and involves himself in this. So not only is it an agreement, but it's also a request that our desires can be met by God out of the attitude correctly displayed. So when we come and pray and we're asking for these miracles, we're also saying, God, I'm going to bury my heart of attitude. Look at somebody and say it. I'm going to bury my heart of attitude. Now think about that. I'm going to leave hate, indecision, indifference. I'm going to leave all that. I'm going to wash it away. How many times do we forgive somebody, Jesus? That's in this scripture. How many times? He said, until you're done. That's what he said. Not just to walk away and decide that things have ended incorrectly, but that we've left something proportionately right. That our decisions, our choices, our attitudes toward the thing and the way we approach it today, for us to have everything God wants for us, requires us to do it the right way. Amen. Somebody ought to shout out amen. Now go over to Hebrews chapter 12 if you have your Bible. And this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of sin that does so easily beset us. It is our job, it is God's desire for you and I to lay aside the weights. Look at somebody and say, weights. And then say, sins. Because not everything is a sin. Some things hold us down. Some things bind us up. Some things bind up God's ability to help us. Some things transitionally captivate us and tear us away from appropriate blessings because they are bondages in our life. There are things that have held us in bondage that keep us from moving forward. There are things we won't agree to. There are things we won't say yes to. There are things we won't deal with that we won't amend. And as long as we continue to fight without that amendment, he's telling us we've got to bind these things up. You and I have to bind these things up. He said, bind up every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race set before us. Look at somebody and say, I'm in a race. You're in a race. You're running. You're literally in a race, and there are hurdles, or there are strides that you and I are taking. There are challenges along this race that we're in, and they try to take us off path or try to take us up a different route or try to move us off of a straight line, and all of those things are in our way, and he's saying they are weights and they are sins that beset us. This morning, before we pray over these cards, lay them aside. Make up your mind that this is your day to set aside things that are withholding you from God's perfect will and plan. Put them down. Say no to them. Deal with them. Make things change in your life so that God can bless you to the fullest that he wants to. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, he despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now think about what Jesus himself went through. Jesus took on all of that so that you and I can be saved through him. Now what an awesome Jesus that is. Look at somebody and say, what an awesome Jesus that is. And as I thought about this and thought about the various things that come along, one of the first thoughts I had was, just tell everybody in here they need to be in church more often. I'm going to try that again. I got a few shouts and a few amens, but I get a lot out of that. Let me try that one more time. Tell everybody that it's in there today, they got to be in church more. Amen. Find somebody next to you, look at them and say, you need to be in church more. Some are laughing, some are not. You know I'm right. Got to go to church more. Some of y'all need to be in church more. I mean, we've gotten to the point now where you barely get them on Sunday morning once every 2 or 3 weeks. They're more at the beach than they are at the church. If it's a good weather day, I'm going to the beach. Nobody's shouting, but it's true anyhow. Church needs to be a priority. Nothing wrong with going to the beach. Please don't get me wrong. Thank God for the beach. You know, I mean, go to the beach, but make church a priority. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Brother Hagin wrote this. Listen to this. I want you to hear it. Comes out of his book, Growing Up Spiritually. He said, babies are easily spoiled, and when they become spoiled, they become irritable. It's mighty easy to spoil them to the light so that you have to keep that light on. It's mighty easy to spoil them to being handled and held. They're just babies. But the Bible says something about babies growing up. David said it this way, surely I have behaved and quieted myself. As a child that is weaned of his mother, my soul is even weaned as a weaned child. The Bible goes on to talk about Isaac. Listen to what it says about Isaac. This child grew and weaned, and Abraham made a great feast, and the same day Isaac was weaned. They cut him off. That ought to be that way today in the church. The day when Christians grow up enough to get off the bottle. But you know it isn't that way. It ought to be a feast day. Instead, it's a cry day. I know I pastored nearly 12 years, and it's no wonder to me at all that we're not doing more in the house of God than we are. I'm going to read that one more time. It's no wonder to me at all that we're not doing more in churches than we ought to. If we do get newborns bathed in, newborn babies in, we don't have to bottle, we don't have a bottle for it. Every bottle's in use. Every older baby is still going to won't give up their bottles. Every bed in the spiritual nursery is taken. And every older baby don't need to get up and give up their beds. They want to keep them themselves. In the last church I pastored, there were two ladies who lived next door to each other. Bless their hearts. They'd been saved, I don't know for how long, baptized with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. But that doesn't make you a full-grown Christian. Nobody shouted enough. I thought that's good. They had been saved. I don't know that, but that doesn't make fun. They were the biggest babies in the world. You'd have to run after them, run to them, run around them. They wanted you to come in and pet them. They would miss church on Sunday for you to come over on Monday and pet them. So I just quit. I like it. See, I read this before I started Family Worship Center, and I decided back then I was just going to follow it. Some people wonder, why don't you come chase me around? How come you ain't talking to me? Because I'm not going to. You can go where you want. One of the deacons said something to me about it. I said, brother, if you want to go over and visit them, you go, but I'm never going over there again. The longest day I live, or the longest day I pastor this church, I will never set foot in their houses again. I'm tired of wasting my time with them. There are babies who want to stay babies. There are other people who could be helped by them, but they won't help them. There are new people to be visited. There are others that are getting saved who could be taught. You couldn't have taught those old babies anything. So I quit visiting them and never set foot inside that house again for 18 months. I continued to pastor the church. But do you know what? One day I saw them come in again. And I believe after they came back to the church, they were more faithful than they'd ever been before. We ought to grow up enough spiritually so that instead of someone having to come visit us, pump us up, prop us up, pray us up, feed us up, that we're able to be out helping others ourselves. When weaning time comes, we ought to thank God for it. I wish somebody shout out amen. Actually, if a child is weaned properly, when weaning time comes, it will turn its own face from its bottle. If it isn't, you have a crier on your hands. And if you can just keep people on the milk, they will grow. Peter said, "Desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby." I've actually had pastors say to me in trying to tell me I was giving their congregation a little too much. Now, Brother Hagin, I know my congregation should be better than you are, than they are, but you have to be careful. All they can take is a little milk. All I've ever fed them is a little milk, he said. I said, no, you haven't given them any milk. you've been giving them pasturing for 30 years. If they'd been getting the milk, they would have grown. Peter said that we would grow thereby. They didn't grow, so they haven't been getting milk. They were just getting Blue John. And Blue John is milk with all the cream gone out of it. Babies are easily frustrated, easily distracted, easily hurt. The Lord wants to bring us to a place where we're not so easily frustrated. Amen. Man, I'm preaching good now, and I ain't even said this. He wants to bring us to the place where we're not distracted. He wants to bring us to the place where we're not so easily hurt. Folks, I felt led of the Lord to read that to you because sometimes we get confused in a church. And we get distracted by why people get confused sometimes, and people that we trust and we have confidence in or that we look to a certain way. I'm going to say this. Look to the Lord. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of your faith, and He will always be the author and the finisher of your faith. This morning when I lay hands on your cards, I want you to come like a child. I want you to come with the understanding that when you bring your cloth and when you bring your piece of paper, that the results are going to be a humility that you come and say, "You're my source. Heaven's my source. Jesus is my source." Second, I want you to come in here. I want you to do it the way the Word of God says. Come with that symphonia. Come in a spirit that's right. Come in an attitude where your spirit is connected with God and that you worship in a way that brings us from glory to glory. Look at somebody say, from glory to glory. And then come with the right attitude. Come up here this morning and say, "You know, He's right. I don't need to be hurt, offended, wounded, obstructed. I can't do that. I have to lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset me." How many agree I'm right? Amen.